833 today.
It's the fight for the moon, and we're going to talk about it here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere in between. Can't wait to chat with Homer Hickam, a former NASA engineer. Remember the film October Sky? I love the movie, and I like the book, too. He wrote the book, and that was the basis. His life was the basis for the book. Anyway, he has strong feelings about NASA and the cuts and what it means for the U.S. And, hey, how about space exploration? We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few. But why is there the concern over the fight for the moon? It's because of the spending freeze and the new budget that President Barack Obama has unveiled. Now, part of what's happening as a result of the budget is this multi-trillion dollar spending plan. Remember, we talked about this heading into the week. The Prez is pledging an all-out effort to knock down high unemployment and asking Congress to quickly rubber stamp the new job creation efforts that would, he says, boost the deficit to, well, he didn't say it would boost the deficit. He says will help the economy and help the folks who need the jobs, but ultimately it would boost the deficit to a record-breaking $1.56 trillion. You know how many jobs have been cost over the past 2 years? 7.2 million. And that's just an estimate. I think it's a little bit higher because I'm going to throw in the people that are massively underemployed in that. Anyway, the new budget projects a spending increase of 5.7% for the current budget year, also forecasting that the spending would rise, let's give or take another 3% in 2011 to 3.83 trillion. The president says everybody has to tighten their belt. Here were some of his thoughts early in the day on the budget.
This morning I sent a budget to Congress for the coming year. It's a budget that reflects the serious challenges facing the country. We're at war. Our economy's lost 7 million jobs over the last 2 years. And our government is deeply in debt after what can only be described as a decade of profligacy. We have to do what families across America are doing. Save where we can so that we can afford what we need. Now, I think it's very important to understand, we won't be able to bring down this deficit overnight, given that the recovery is still taking hold and families across the country still need help. We will continue, for example, to do what it takes to create jobs. That's reflected in my budget. It's essential. The budget includes new tax cuts for people who invest in small businesses, tax credits for small businesses that hire new workers, investments that will create jobs repairing roads and bridges, and tax breaks for retrofitting homes to save energy. I've proposed a more than 6% increase in funding for the Education Department, and this funding is tied to reforms that raise student achievement, inspire students to excel in math and science, and turn around failing schools, which consign too many young people to a lesser future.
All right, so what does this mean to you and me? Basically, in a nutshell, it's as I described when you look at the deficit. The budget would absolutely knock down all records as far as spending is concerned, so we would have a huge deficit. We already have one, but it would just tick off that clock in New York. Now, most of the top Democrats, the Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's, et cetera, would back this up and say you got to spend your way out of a recession. But I'm asking all of you, is this the way to go? Honestly, do you think the way to go is to spend your way out of a recession? Now, later on, we're going to talk about that spending freeze again that we've mentioned several times and, of course, was brought up in the State of the Union address. And specifically, what does that mean? That's part of the moon thing in not spending money with NASA and just calling a halt to that exploration. And hey, the shuttle ends, and I don't know, is it lights out temporarily for NASA? I don't think it's that extreme, but extreme enough that the futuristic plans, the things that were already in the works, are basically going to be mothballed. So I can't wait to get the thoughts, as I mentioned, of Homer Hickam. So excited to have him on this show. But jumping back to some other specifics of the budget, the House Majority Whip, Congressman James Cleburne from South Carolina, said that, you know, we're trying to find greater savings in the budget that was released by the president. And it wouldn't help alleviate the recession. We've got to make some decisions as to what's the best, and this is his quotes, as to what's the best interest for our country going forward. I think the best interest is to invest in education. You heard Barack Obama mention education there. Control the deficits while at the same time trying to get people back to work. So we're talking about a $3.8 trillion increase in spending. That's the number, $3.8 trillion. Of course, Congress has to approve it for 2010. But then it's what it does to the deficit. The number I mentioned right when I clicked open the mic, it would cause a $1.27 trillion deficit overall. Actually, more than that, because you add what's already there, lump that into it. So those are some big numbers. I don't know about all of you, but think for a second about trillions and what you could do with trillions and trillions of dollars. Now, not all Democrats, by the way, are on board with this. Several of them expressed that they're worried that without expanded spending on social programs, there you go, and other elements of the budget, some people that actually have been slammed the hardest by the recession would be at a complete disadvantage by the budget. So in trying to get people back to work, it would do the exact opposite. Those who really, really need it, it wouldn't trickle down to them, to borrow a term from a different kind of president, it wouldn't trickle down to them in any sense of your imagination, if you think about it. It's not going to go down to those levels. So you're not going to bring the, here's what I think. You're not going to bring the deficits down. You're not going to eliminate the problems without doing something, yes, to grow the economy. Sure, you got to do something to grow the economy. But the spending, the constant number that's being thrown out for the spending, I just go back to the stimulus and what a flop the stimulus was and the possibility of the second stimulus, how ridiculous. You know, I just don't. To me, it's just more of the same rhetoric. We're like a cat. We're chasing the tail around and around and around and around and around. The recession wasn't caused by debt. It wasn't caused by debt. And trying to balance the budget this year would make that recession 10 times worse. I had economics 101 and 102. The bill comes due, so you got to pay the bill, right? And this is definitely, definitely not time for another huge stimulus. I mean, you know, too much debt means that much more sacrifice later. And we're talking about real sacrifice. I think the coffers are empty, and it's not the right direction to go in. Hopefully, there can be some kind of bipartisan cooperation if some things are changed, but in looking just straight on at this budget, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for some changes in it. Because, like I said, not all Democrats are on board with this anyway. All right, as I mentioned, the fight to save the moon we'll explain next on ATN.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. February 1st, 2010. Gold opened this morning at 1088.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1118.63, 559.32 for the half ounce, or 279.66 for a quarter ounce. That's 1118.63, 559.32, or 279.66.
How is it that we, the people, grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is not a drill. Repeat, this is not a drill. Gun sales are on a staggering pace. Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns and will do anything to get them. Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them, how to create the perfect hiding place, as well as the places you should never hide your guns under any circumstance. These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough. But listen up. For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Or call 877-327-0365. Before they come for your guns. Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Right now.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much.
You know, it's been more than 40 years since Buzz Aldrin stood on the moon, Apollo 11. As a person who loves space exploration, it saddens me to know that we have to fight to go back to the moon. You've got politicians from Florida, Texas, and Alabama who are saying, no, sir, we don't want to lose this one. Already thousands of jobs have been lost in the space industry. I know I have family that work in the industry. So that's because of the shuttle coming to an end. Now, we were going to go to the moon, but the moon program, the Constellation, looks like it's dead in its tracks, part of the budget axe. Here earlier today is what the budget director had to say about losing the program.
Let me be clear about what is happening at NASA. The Constellation program, which is over budget and behind schedule, was intended to do what we've already done, which is return a man or woman to the moon. We believe in the future of human spaceflight. We believe that NASA can inspire Americans and lead to scientific advances. So we do have a small budget increase for NASA. What we're saying is let's redirect that towards longer range R&D, advanced robotics, research and development, and find those new technologies that will actually allow us to go further in space and not just repeat what we've already done, especially in a program that is behind schedule and over budget.
Well, NASA, unfortunately, they're either up or down. It just depends on the political whims of what's going on at the country at a particular time. Who better to have on this show? Always a pleasure to talk to Homer Hickam. You know his book, October Sky. You probably saw the film. He's a former NASA engineer, and of course his life was the basis for his book, October Sky. I'm sure he's got lots of thoughts on what's happening here. That's why we are very pleased to welcome him to the show. Homer, thanks for joining us. How have you been?
Well, I've been just fine, Kate. I've written a lot of books since Rocket Boys, also known as October Sky, so I stay busy. As a matter of fact, I wrote a novel back in 2001 called Back to the Moon. I didn't realize, that novel was a techno thriller, but I didn't realize that the whole moon program was about to become a techno thriller here in 2010.
Yeah, no kidding. As somebody who lived this, why is it, and to me it's just because I'm just like a wide-eyed kid and I love the idea of space. I know nothing other than what I've learned from astronauts and talking to them and being able to go and see some pretty cool things. And I'm going to go down to a shuttle launch and I'm excited about that. But why from your point of view, why is space exploration and NASA so darn important to the future of the United States?
Well, let me back up just a little bit and stick with me for a second, and let me kind of explain what happened today, and then see where we're going to go from there. Back in 2003, the Bush administration decided that the shuttle program was essentially winding down. The shuttles were old; they had already been proved to be unsafe. And the question was, okay, if we're going to close the shuttle program down after we build the International Space Station, what are we going to do next? So a decision was made called the Vision for Space Exploration, that the next thing to do would be to go back to the moon and build a laboratory there while also doing some work on the International Space Station. So NASA, at that point, started closing down the shuttle program, completed the space station, and started ramping up to build all the machines necessary to go back to the moon to do something that was considered in the national interest to do. Now, with today's announcement, two things happen. The first thing, you're right, Constellation program was shut down, which essentially wastes about 6 years of effort that NASA has done to build the rockets and build all the infrastructure needed to go back to the moon. It also, the decision was made to commercialize carrying humans into orbit, especially Americans, into orbit up to the space station. Now, that aspect of the decision is a pretty good one, I think, in that there are a number of American companies like SpaceX that stand ready to launch humans into Earth orbit so NASA can clearly get out of that game. But by taking away NASA's fundamental purpose, its mission to go back to the moon, it today did a lot more than just shut down the Constellation program. It essentially canceled NASA itself, because NASA now no longer has a clear purpose. So we're in for a very bumpy ride in terms of NASA and the Federal Space Program. What do we do next? We just don't know. What that budget guy said was just mush, doesn't mean anything, a lot of gobbledygook, and we've got to get some clarity now into our program.
Yeah, no kidding. And so in the argument, in the fight, as I mentioned, there are three key states where already jobs have been lost, but more jobs will be lost too, since as now you've just said as well, what's NASA's, what's the future for NASA? Where do you go from here?
Well, a lot of NASA engineers now will just get out of the program. I mean, why stick around basically not having a purpose? Better to go off and design new hot water heaters than rockets that are never going to fly. So this is a fundamental shift in America's purpose in space. Now, there's going to be a huge food fight over this. Just because President Obama wants this to happen doesn't necessarily mean it will. But right now there are something like 20 to 30,000 jobs on the line. And also a whole lot of new technology that we're about to lose.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's the next part of this. As somebody who did this for a living, you certainly know. But the question always becomes to people who have no clue about what goes on with the space program. They'll always ask, well, what does it mean anyway if we go look at a few rocks? What does that mean? I don't understand. What do we gain from going out there for lunar exploration? So yeah. What do we gain?
Yeah, well, and also, how come we're spending all that money just for those rocks? Well, first place, let me just talk about the money real quick. NASA is essentially just a rounding error in the $3.5 trillion budget. It's like 0.5% of the federal budget. It's around $18 billion, which is about as much as the Department of Labor gets. And you know how important the Department of Labor is to fundamental operation of our country. So. Why go back to the moon? Well, for the same reason that we have a station down in the South Pole. We have actually three stations down in the South Pole. We are down there because we are the leader in science and technology in this country, and we mean to stay there. The moon is our next place to go. Other countries are going to go there. We need to have our place there, and we actually need to lead the way if people are going to look toward our country as a leader not only in technology and science, but also in the way that we manage ourselves as a representative of the human race. So, yes, we have a lot to gain on the moon. We'll learn an awful lot by going up there. I think eventually we will go. It is essentially in the national interest to go. But I think NASA has failed, as well as the federal government has failed, to put all of that in a proper perspective and to lay it out to the American people why we need to go out there. And certainly writers like me and others are willing to step up and give them the reason if they can't figure it out.
Very well said. We only have a couple of minutes left, but tell us, your newest book is coming out in a month. I can't wait to read it. It's called My Dream of Stars. Give us a synopsis of it, Homer.
Well, I had a lot of fun writing this book. It's actually the memoir told in the voice of Anousheh Ansari. Anousheh Ansari is an Iranian-American woman who came over here at the age of 15, did not speak a word of English. 20 years later, she's worth $750 million. She's an entrepreneur, formed her own business in the telecommunications industry, and she always loved the idea of going into space. So she not only funded the XPRIZE, Burt Rutan's flight into space, but she also paid the Russians $20 million to fly her into orbit up to the space station. She had to fight every step of the way, and I think people are going to be fascinated by her wonderful story. For folks who want more, go over to homerhickam.com and click on the cover of My Dream of Stars, and they can learn a lot more about Anousheh Ansari.
Well, Homer, always a pleasure to chat with you. We look forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much for coming on America
Tonight.
Well,
thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Fascinating, Homer is certainly, and as he mentioned, he has led an interesting life with several of the books that he's written, but I like this idea that he's getting behind the fight to save the exploration to the moon. And I hope that clears up a few things for some of the people listening when he's talking about the jobs lost, too, possibly up to 30,000 jobs. And how do you get those engineers back? Well, they're not going to stick around. They have families and mouths to feed, so it would really cripple the NASA program. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends here on ATN.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
It's time for another edition of the Headers. That means we go out and seek the headlines across America. What are they talking about, near and far? Well, you could say that's what a lot of the show is made up of, but the actual headlines, while we still have them, before the papers just completely die. You know, here's the thing. If you have kids and they have to decide what to put in a time capsule, take the local paper, roll it up, tell them to put the paper in the time capsule, because there might not even be a newspaper by the time they dig that thing out. In fact, if it's 50 or 100 years, forget it. They won't even have a paper. So whoever digs it out, it'll be like, what's this foreign object? Look, it's some sort of a paper. It's a paper. So let's head to New York this time. I used to read this paper when I lived in New York, and there's some good writers. I like the paper. But anyway, the New York Daily News. Here are a couple of the headlines. One of the headlines is John Edwards' ex-aide, Andrew Young, speaks on alleged Ryle Hunter sex tape and fears for his life. Okay, by now we all know the story, right? That John Edwards was fooling around with Ryle Hunter, then went to his aide and said, "Will you say that this is your baby?" And he said he would, and the rest is history. So he's now all over the tube talking about it because he has a book out. And Young wouldn't say who offered him big money. He said he had been offered gigantic amounts of money for a sordid sex tape of the failed presidential candidate and his mistress, but he wouldn't say who it was, and he wouldn't go beyond that other than to say that she wants to get the tape, Ryle Hunter wants to get the tape back. So Young is everywhere pushing his book, his tell-all book about his days with the former North Carolina senator. The book is called The Politician. He says he found the sex tape months before the January 2008 Iowa caucuses. It was left in a box in a home that Young said he and his wife briefly shared with Hunter, who we all know this story too, Edwards hired to film his failed presidential bid. And I guess I can say this, not talking out of turn, but it's funny how this story has 6 degrees of separation. I was at dinner with somebody on Friday who occasionally joins us on America Tonight. I'm not going to say who it is, but he mentioned to me that he knew the people that were flying her around, that were flying Ryle Hunter around to hook up with Edwards. And ultimately, in this whole investigation, everybody would probably be subpoenaed, but the backup is, hey, she was hired to do video, and we, you know, fell in love, or we messed around, or whatever, especially now because the Edwards are separated. Since Elizabeth and John aren't together right now, that all makes sense. What's really strange is Ryle Hunter showing up in North Carolina, because she moved there and she lives there now. Oof. She lives in, she doesn't live in Raleigh, she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. The little girl is 2. So Young, who had 3 kids of his own, said that he was blinded by loyalty and he tried to take the fall for his boss, claiming he was Quinn's daddy. He said he told Edwards that he was done with the charade and he began to fear for his life, especially when the senator showed up out of the blue and took him for a ride. And this is so typical to hype this book. He said, all I could think about was Vince Foster. You know who Vince Foster is, right? That's a reference to the former Clinton aide whose suicide sparked a lot of speculation that, let's say, maybe he was rubbed out to cover up a White House scandal. So that was one of the headlines in the New York paper. There was another one that was interesting. I had nowhere else to land, says a traffic report. Pilot who ended up on the New Jersey Turnpike. This is really a crazy story. And it happened just miles, like 2 miles from where I grew up. There was a radio station, Eye in the Sky, traffic reporter that was doing, you know, reporting on the rush hour Monday morning jam. They had to be forced to land their plane on the Jersey Turnpike. So they landed, made an emergency landing near Cherry Hill at 6:45 in the morning, touching down in the northbound lanes between 2 cars. They said they couldn't find anywhere else to go, so they had to go right where they were. That would be scary. You know, I was one time approached about being a traffic reporter in a helicopter, and it was in New York, and of course, I'm brutal when it comes to traffic anyway, so I was like, are you kidding me? Looking out, trying to tell everybody where the traffic's going, coming their way. But there have been some strange things that have happened and sad things that have happened to traffic reporters in the past. So in this case, you had them, they were on the job providing traffic reports for KYW, and the plane, the oil pressure just dipped and the engine started to sputter. So they said, we're losing power, altitude, we're going down. Would you like, Matt, to ever be a traffic reporter? That's a big job now because everything's about traffic and congestion.
I don't know. I don't think it would be that bad. You got to stay on top of everything. But nowadays with technology the way it is, you can get up to the minute kind of like I have traffic updates on my phone now.
I know. I do too. But here's what I'm saying. Get in the plane. They want you to get in the plane or the helicopter and fly around.
They're still doing that?
Yes. And many radio and television stations in any of the top 10 markets, they're all doing that. So they'll ask you to do it. You'll meet the pilot at the field somewhere and go up in the air, and they'll take shots of it.
Because I know, like, a lot of the stations around here, at least, have kind of gotten rid of that. And they're just
because they're too cheap, and they just play that noise in the background.
They just do it all on camera, like, by the camera, the Department of Transportation cameras, and then they go on air with their updated traffic report.
Yeah, they don't do that. In big, big markets, they don't do that. They want everybody up in the air. So that's why he was in the airplane, and they had to land.
Wow.
I know, scary. I think it's scary. There have been people killed there was a crazy one where two helicopters collided, and they were traffic reporters. And then there was another one that went down in New York.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that then. not a big heights guy either.
You know that
like being up there.
You know that Bravo show where they say what profession would you least like to attempt?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I want to jump in that either. The copter.
Yeah.
That's why I said no. Yeah, stay on the ground, feet on the ground, absolutely. All right, we got some more headers for you from, let's see here, a place I used to live, El Paso Times, El Paso, Texas. I lived there briefly for like 7 months, and actually I really enjoyed my time there. Very kind of mountainous area, but Juarez was there at the time. Juarez wasn't the crazy cesspool that it is now. You used to just go back and forth between the Zaragoza Bridge. And now it's just sad and awful what's happened. All right, here's the headline from the El Paso Times. Football players honor student among 16 victims of Juarez massacre. And the story goes on to talk about that they were good kids, students, and athletes. Some played American-style football, not the typical targets in a drug war. And that's what I was talking about, how nasty it's gotten in that city that is just a stone's throw away from El Paso, just the bridge. So in the massacre, Juarez high school and college students on Saturday, they created a shockwave, is what they're saying, that is rumbling across the city because there's been this unstoppable violence. So the death toll is 16, 12 others hospitalized, and they're investigating as to what happened. How did this happen? What happened that led to this massacre? And the people who were killed were ages 13 to 42. At least 11 were teens, and they were shot Saturday night when a gunman sealed off a block and stormed into a birthday party in a working-class neighborhood and began firing handguns and rifles. And they do think it's related in some way to drugs, something to do with drugs. I mean, arguably, it's more than 4,400 people have been killed in Juarez since a war between Juarez and another rival drug cartel began in January of 2008. That's an incredible amount of people. 4,400 since January of 2008, just barely over 2 years. Woo. And the guy with the gun fired 51 rounds, and, yeah, it wasn't good. And it's something related to drugs is all they'll say. They don't know much more than that, so they don't want to release any more details other than that you have to believe that that's what it's all about. All right, we go from there to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, they're talking about a couple of things, national and local. So I'll tell you about the local one. Mount Pleasant residents talk about safety. And here it's typical where you could find anywhere in the United States. They had about 40 people that went to a public forum in this neighborhood, Mount Pleasant, to talk about safety and how the cops respond to reports of missing persons and sexual assaults. They're very concerned about that because they've had some problems in the missing persons area. And that's why they appointed this panel, the mayor did, to investigate how the police are handling this. There's been a huge public outcry in Cleveland after the bodies of 11 women were found at the Imperial Avenue house of Anthony Sewell 3 months ago. Remember him? We talked about him a ton on this show, and the fact that he left a trail that's probably worse than that in some other areas, and at one point he was even in Japan in the military. All right, coming back on the flip side, we have birthdays, news you can abuse, and this day in history.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Why is drinking pure high-alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep.
Welcome to Groundhog Day, made famous by Punxsutawney Phil and comedian Bill Murray. It was his least favorite day. Remember, you saw that 1993 movie, didn't you? I actually thought it was cute at the time when I saw it. I don't know. Probably has worn its welcome out because it seemed like it was on cable all over the place. But the concept was very funny, I think. So Punxsutawney Phil, Punxsutawney P.A. You know, I think I did this story. It's crazy that PETA thought, the woman who runs PETA thought it was just so awful to do that to a groundhog, that we should have a robotic groundhog instead. That's ridiculous. And I love what the mayor said. Are you kidding? This groundhog gets treated better than half the dogs that he knows. So what happens is people get up way before the crack of dawn. They put on tuxedos and gowns, and they march to the city park, and they pull out Punxsutawney Phil, out of his house in a tree trunk. They observe him. He goes about doing his groundhog shadow thing. If the groundhog doesn't see his shadow, it means spring is on the way. If he sees his shadow, six more weeks of winter. And it's been a tradition for a very long time. You know how long back this goes? 1887. That is, and what's pretty cool is every single year at Gobbler's Knob, everybody comes out and they get some media attention. It's like clockworks across the country. They're going to air it and they're going to talk about the groundhog. Here's some other things that happened back in February 2nd in 1876. Baseball's National League was born then. Eight competing baseball teams met in New York City's Grand Central Hotel. The first president of the new league was Morgan Buckley, who later became a Bulkley, who later became a U.S. Senator. The eight original cities with teams were Boston, Chicago, Cincinnati, New York, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Louisville, and Hartford. Two of the original teams are now in the American League, of course, Boston, New York, while Louisville and Hartford are now minor league baseball towns. In 1892, I just love how I'm going way back in the Wayback Machine, William Painter of Baltimore, Maryland, patented the Crown Cork bottle cap. Wow, and we still have those. That's what you need to do. You need to invent something, get a patent, and it has to take off. That's how you can make some money that you can leave to your children and your grandchildren. How do you think of those things? Anyway, he did it in 1892. In 1913, Jim Thorpe signed a pro baseball contract with the New York Giants in baseball at that in those days. And the interesting thing about Thorpe is he ran into problems in the 1912 Olympic Games in Stockholm, Sweden, if you remember. He was stripped of his gold medals for his pentathlon and decathlon victories when somehow Olympic officials learned that he had received what could be considered a tiny, tiny bit of money for playing pro baseball. It was really semi-pro baseball in North Carolina. So he wasn't an amateur, and that's what happened. He wasn't eligible to compete. How about that? But what's really good, because that was ridiculous, in 82 the decision was reversed. Jim Thorpe was honored as the record holder for the 1912 events and co-winner with those who had received the original gold. And the following year, the gold medals were presented to his family 30 years after he died. How about that? A couple of other things. In 1949, golfer Ben Hogan was seriously hurt in an auto accident in Van Horn, Texas. He still went on to play some golf, however. Some people say he wasn't the same, though, even though he still was able to play and he won some major events, that it was rough. How about this? In 1970, Pistol Pete Maravich scored 49 points for Louisiana State University against Mississippi State. Maravich fans became the first collegiate player. Maravich, rather, became the first collegiate player to score over 3,000 career points. Woo! He went on to become a star for the New Orleans Jazz, now the Utah Jazz. And sadly, he died of a heart attack in 88. I remember this. I remember reading a Sports Illustrated story about it. He died in 88 after collapsing during a pickup 3-on-3 game. It was somewhere in California. I think he was in a gym somewhere. In 1993, the U.S. Internal Revenue Service agreed to accept $9 million from singer Willie Nelson to settle his $17 million tax debt. And the Fed said they would take proceeds from sales of Nelson's Who'll Buy My Memories, the IRS tapes, plus any judgment he might get in a lawsuit against his former accountant. Mm-mm-mm. In 1996, films making their debut in the U.S., The Juror, Demi Moore was in that, Alec Baldwin. Also, White Squall with Jeff Bridges and John Savage and Scott Wolf. It's kind of fun to go back in time, isn't it? All right, let's jump ahead and look at a couple of stories that we would deem news you can abuse stories, like this one. This is actually a very strange story. There's a man who is trying to avoid the police. So what did he do in Ontario? He's driving his truck, and he decided, well, I'm going to bury myself in snow up to his neck to try to hide from the cops. So they started searching for the driver of the pickup truck as he got out of the pickup, and after he failed to stop for the cruiser that was trying to pull him over. The truck got stuck in a ditch, and then the driver and the passenger took off on foot. There was a second passenger who stayed in the car. You know, eventually they found him, and they also found a stolen snowmobile in the box of the, in the back of the truck, rather, and a container with meth inside as well. So that's why they want to be pulled over. But he just thought he could bury himself in the snow and he wouldn't be caught, but it was right before their very eyes. This is a sad story, except for the fact that the woman, you could say, died happy. But at Sandusky, Ohio, a lottery winner who was struck and killed by a car on the day she got her check had just spent some of the money on wedding rings for her and her husband. The Ohio Highway Patrol says 47-year-old Deborah McDonald of Crystal Rock was walking home from a bar when she was struck by the car. She had gotten a check for $5,520 on Tuesday, treated her husband and friends to dinner. She also bought those rings that I mentioned because they weren't able to afford them. And sadly, that was it for her. The you know, she was struck by the car, as I said. All right, we're going to move to one. We're not going to do it. I was going to do one more news you can abuse. I'm going to save it for the next day. It's that good. Let's jump quickly to a couple of birthdays. Can I have some birthday music, please, Matt?
I need birthday singers. Come on, people. We need birthday singers.
All right, let's go to birthdays. I'm going to say you're going to recognize probably three names on this list. You know, pop music, we don't like it. We already discussed that the other day. But Shakira, she is a Colombian-born pop star who is fluent in English and Spanish. She's well-known. 33 years old. Christie Brinkley, former supermodel, married for a while to Billy Joel. They had a daughter, Alexa Ray, I think her name is, 56 years old. Sadly, today would have been Farrah Fawcett's birthday. She would have turned 63. Graham Nash, the voice, the distinctive tenor voice in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, 68 years old. If James Joyce was alive, he was the Irish literary genius who wrote Ulysses back in 1914. He would be 128 years old. How about Ayn Rand? Atlas Shrugged, 57. That was her claim to fame. A lot of people quote Ayn Rand. She would have been 105 years old. James Dickey, poet and novelist of Deliverance, 87 years old. I think you recognized a couple of those names. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at America Tonight. Great job, Matt, on the technicals.